So my grandmother Quarter was, I actually learned a name for her, how to describe her last Sunday after church. Somebody described themselves as a Babdacostal. My grandmother Quarter was a Babdacostal. Boy, she was an on-fire type Christian. She was a spitfire too. She had a little bit of mischievous mischief in her. And one of the things I really just enjoyed being around her was her life was spoken through a lot of just different funny sayings, old sayings that always imparted a lot of wisdom. And one of the favorite things I remember her saying is, he doesn't have enough sense to come in out of the cold. that was one. There were many of them, but that one applies today. As I was working through the scripture this morning, this invitation that is issued by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah is to, you know, are you thirsty? Well, come to the table. Are you hungry? Well, come on. And the thing is that a lot of times we don't have enough sense to come in out of the cold. It's there for the taking. That's the beautiful thing about grace. The beautiful thing about the scriptures is that the Lord says, "You don't have any money? There's no cost. Come on in. It's open to everyone, this grace of God." So this morning I want to speak of repentance. During the season of Lent, repentance is one of those words you hear brought up quite a bit. And this is our week. It's our turn to talk about this very important practice, this very important step of repentance that we are called to take in our lives. And I want to speak of it in terms of turning. Turning toward God. But how do we turn toward God? Where is God? What does it mean to turn toward God? Where is He? So where should we turn and how should we turn? You know, there's this still small voice, this divine tug that is beckoning all of us. Every one of us here, there's a still small voice, the scriptures tell us. There's a divine tug that's speaking to us and saying, "Will you just slow down? Just slow down for a minute and listen. And then stop. And then turn and seek the divine." I want to speak to that this morning. Because our passage assumes that we have a great deal of anxiety in our lives. It assumes that we have a great deal of worry and doubt and suspicion about others on the surface of our lives. And I think we could probably nod and agree with that, that there is much of that that we feel. We're tired. We're weary. We may be even in the middle of an existential crisis, asking questions like, "What am I here for? What is this all about? Why even bother?" Well, the Lord says through Isaiah, "Look, right before you is your ticket to satisfaction, to fulfillment, to rest. It's right there before you. There's so much grace abounding and awaiting if we'll just turn. There's so much grace you won't know what to do with it. That's just waiting for you." It's like when I mentioned my grandma Quarter, when we would visit her and she would just want to keep feeding you and feeding you, feeding you. It's like, I'm full, grandma. No, you haven't tried this yet. That's grace. The Lord just keeps giving us more and more grace. But yet, how do we turn? Where do we turn? And why is it we don't go there? Why is it we have this before us, but yet we spend our lives playing and dancing with this destructive worry and anxiety and doubt and suspicion and fear? Well, first of all, I think we've been listening to the wrong voices. We've been searching in the wrong places. There are so many distracting and dangerous voices that are vying for our attention. There's voices all around in our culture that are trying to distract us and take us down paths that are not healthy for us. Not healthy for us physically, they're not healthy for us emotionally, they're not healthy for us spiritually. And yet we get sucked right into those paths because the voice seems so enticing and it promises so many things for us. So for one reason, even though we have this great abundance of grace before us and we don't accept it, it's because we're listening to the wrong voices and we've been the siren song we've been lulled into. Another reason is I think we don't know where over there is. Isaiah says, over there is where there is abundance of food. There is where your thirst can be quenched. But where is there? How do I get there? And I think that might be one of the main stumbling blocks is, boy, I would love to have abundance and fulfillment and get rid of this worry and this doubt and this fear and the suspicion of others and all these things that are eating at me, but where do I go? Well, over there, we find, all throughout the Scriptures, there is actually here. There is in here. When the Lord says in our reading this morning, come who are thirsty, come and drink and come and eat and come and buy wine and milk, the Lord is calling us inward. Because that's where the divine dwells. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus was speaking to a group and he said, you know, people will say, God is there and the kingdom of God is there and it's there. And he said, no, I tell you, the kingdom of God is within you. So if you want to know where to begin looking, we're called to turn inward. We talked about this in our Bible study class this morning, that repentance is a turning. And where do we turn? We turn from whatever destructive behavior or whatever destructive thoughts, whatever destructive narrative that we've created in our mind that's keeping us down and keeping us weak and keeping us from achieving what God would have us achieve. And we turn inward and we take a look and see what's there. What's there within us? That's where repentance begins. Because the life you're looking for is not out there. And it's not over there. The life you're looking for will be found in here. But every product that's being hawked, every regimen that people trying to sell that will save you, they're trying to give you an object, something out there, that if you just get that, or if you just go there, if you would just go away to this beach, or whatever they're trying to sell you, then you would be happy. But the whole Christian direction is says, turn here. Turn inward. Because that's where the kingdom of God will be found. It will be found in you. The life you're looking for is not out there. It's a deep turn. It's a turn to a deep and interior spiritual life. And let me say this. The Scriptures tell us there is a price to be paid if we stay on the course that keeps looking out there for our happiness. If we keep looking out there for our fulfillment. The anxiety, the incessant fear, the doubts, the hatred, the bitterness, the anger, all of those things that eat at us will continue and they will grow if we continue to look for our satisfaction out there somewhere rather than look for it inwardly. Jesus in Luke chapter 13 tells the parable of the fig tree. So it's an interesting story in a lot of ways, but if you have your Bible and want to look there, it's Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 6 through 9. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "But sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." You see, the vineyard owner, the Lord, keeps coming back to our lives, and he keeps checking into our lives. And he's looking for fruit. He's looking for our lives to produce kingdom fruit. And the question is he finding it? Is he finding fruit in our lives? Have we turned inward to do that work that needs to be done, to discover that there's sin and there's emptiness and there's darkness there, and to allow the light of Christ to shine into that darkness and clean out the sin so that our lives might be made pure and we might begin to bear fruit with our lives? The Lord keeps coming back to check the vineyard. What is he finding? What's he finding? Jesus says, the vineyard's ready to cut the tree down. He says, I'll give it one more year. I'll give it one more year. Because the scriptures say our Lord is slow to anger, right? He's looking for us to bear fruit. Where will we find... What will the Lord find when he visits us? How do we begin to bear fruit? We begin to bear fruit in our lives when we begin to live out of the depth of our soul and not up here on the surface. Most of us live 99% of our lives up here on the surface. We are running here, we're running there. We are trying to accomplish this small task and this small task, and we're this distraction is pulling us here and this distraction, and we're just sort of treading on the surface. And before we know it, a day can pass and a week can pass and a month and a year, and we've accomplished a whole lot. But have we borne any fruit? Have we borne any fruit for the kingdom? Have we demonstrated the gospel with our lives? Have we demonstrated the gospel to our neighbors and to our children and to our family? Or have we just been going through the motions? And it's a very quick motion for most of us. But the Lord invites us to slow down and to stop and to turn inward and to begin doing the work in the soul that's required in order for us to grow and in order for us to bear fruit in our lives. And to do this, we have to turn inward and we have to seek God. Otherwise, we will just lead these shallow surface lives that are void of power and presence. And some, like I said, some people spend their whole life on the surface. They're always thirsting and hungering for something more, and they never find it because they're afraid to go deep. But the good stuff, the cool water, the cool cleansing water, the wine and the milk and the bread of life, the good stuff is found if you go deep with the Lord. What do I mean by going deep? Well, let's turn again. Let's turn to Psalm 63. Back to the Old Testament this time, Psalm 63, 1 through 8. We hear the language in this psalm of someone who has gone deep and they have found there the divine within. Listen to this. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. That's the language of someone who's gone deep. That's the language of someone who has not been satisfied to just be playing around on the surface, to be suffering on the surface with all the storms that rage there and all the distractions that call us into destructive things. But instead, the psalmist went deep. And the psalmist found something there that was beautiful. He found a life that was satisfied. He found a life that was full. He found a life where he could praise God. I mean, genuinely praise God. I mean, walking through life, whatever he encountered, whatever was going on in the surface, inside he was praising God. He was just full of joy. There was a calm cheerfulness about him, even though he was facing the things that everyone faces. The psalmist did not live in a Shangri-La where, you know, there's everything's perfect. But yet we can hear a person proclaim, "Yet I have found peace and joy. And I can live in praise. Even at night," he said, "even when I lay my head down on my pillow, I think of you through the watches of the night." Now there's a man who has gone deep. If he were a fig tree, we would say that he had opened up his root system. That he had opened up his branches, that every vein in every branch and coming from the roots was just filled with the divine sap. The Spirit of God was flowing throughout him, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of God's love and God's grace. And he was aware of that, and he celebrated it, and so nothing now could upset him and turn him over. No matter what came to him in his life, because he had gone deep. He was deeply rooted. And it all begins with turning. It all begins with turning inward. Because God is inside you. He dwells in your being. The light of Christ is waiting for us to turn so he can shine into our lives and we can become whole. So the question began, are you thirsty? Well, follow the sound of the babbling brook of the water of Christ, of the living water. Are you tired and weary? We're told to move into the shade. Are you tired of groping in the dark? Well, follow the light. Are you weary in your travels? Head home. Christ is waiting for you to return. And we do that by turning inward. You know, when we turn inward, we begin a dialogue with God. And this is what I want to finish with. When we turn inward, we begin a deeper and a newer dialogue with God. Because so many of us go through our Christian experience in a surface-type relationship. We pray a certain prayer that's sort of a rote prayer. We might do it at dinner. We might do it at bedtime. We have some sort of pithy sayings or phrases that we'll use to sort of establish our surface relationship with God. And those are important in an outward sense. But when we go inward and we develop that deep relationship with God, there's a new dialogue that begins. There's a new conversation, a deeper conversation that begins with God. It's a conversation with the divine voice, with the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We become his student. We become his child. We become his friend. He slows us down. He comforts us. He calms us. He walks with us and he talks with us. He imparts wisdom. And all of this grace, we find that it's sufficient for us. Paul called it praying without ceasing. And as you begin praying without ceasing, something amazing happens. You find that the frantic and the crazy and the worrisome and the anxious and the temperamental and the angry and the hectic life that you were living, on the surface, is not the life that you were meant to live. Instead, you find a peace within you. It's a genuine peace, and man, it's sweet as honey. It's as pure as gold. And you begin to see your disposition change. It happens. The more you converse with the Holy Spirit and have that inward discussion throughout your life, your disposition begins to change because God is changing you. Not on the surface, deep within, you are becoming a new creature. And there's this calm cheerfulness that comes over you. You become what the book of Hebrews calls an unshakable kingdom. And again, this is what I want to close with. Listen to these words from Hebrews chapter 12. It begins in verse 28. And I'll skip a few of the verses, but I want to get a taste of what this unshakable kingdom is. Mount Zion is a description of what we find. Mount Zion is a real mountain in Jerusalem, but it also is a description here of what we find when we go inward. Listen to this. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. When you go inward, you come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. You have come to a thousand upon thousand of angels in joyful assembly inside when you come to God. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. All of that you find inside when you come to God. See to it, he says, that you do not refuse him who speaks. At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. You see what the Lord's doing when we go inside, when we go inward and we begin to have that conversation with God, and we listen to the Holy Spirit and the nudging of that still small voice, and we slow down and we just let God speak to us. All the things that He starts shaking, He starts shaking us, and all the things, the created things that don't matter, all the things that are inconsequential to us, all the things that we were chasing on the surface, as we're shaken, all those things start flying off. There's also in the Old Testament this notion of the impurities being burnt off the silver or of the gold. The same idea. We're shaken, and as those things go off, what does he say is left? He says there's an unshakable kingdom within you, and nothing can shake that. Nothing. No matter what the world throws at you, no matter what Satan throws at you, you're unshakable. And that's why you have this disposition, this calm cheerfulness. The Lord's with me. You know, the Lord is with you and also with you. That is what happens when we go inside, when we go deep. Have you discovered that unshakable kingdom that's within? Are you still easily frazzled? Do you still have bitterness within you? Do you still have anger within you? Are you envious and jealous of others because of the created things that they have? Or do you find yourself being joyful and happy? Do you find yourself walking through the world with a calm cheerfulness? Do you find yourself living in an unshakable kingdom? If I see you walking down the street like this week, and the Lord's shaking him, shaking, there's stuff flying, and your watch is flying, and you know, everything. Like, what's left is the unshakable kingdom. And Christ says, it's in you, you will find it, and that's where you turn. You turn inward, and it begins with a prayer life. And we talk about prayer in the church, but it's central to beginning that process of repentance, of turning, of shaking everything, of the Lord shaking you, so that what remains is all that's essential. And what's essential is what is beautiful and what brings joy in our lives. And we'll find it if we turn inward in repentance. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us for looking out there and over there and under there for fulfillment in our life. Oh, and boy, the advertisers, they make it look so incredible. The folks in Hollywood make it look so wonderful and perfect. And yet we can find, as we chase those things, if we're chasing those things for our happiness and our joy, we just find emptiness there. And so, Lord, here we are in worry and disappointment and anxiety and boredom, emptiness. Father, we miss it too often when your scriptures, your word, your son Jesus, tell us, no, it's not out there, but it's inside. If we'll only slow down and be quiet and listen and begin an earnest dialogue like the psalmist. And Father, you promise when we go there, we will find peace. And we can walk through this world without jealousy, without envy, without fear, without an inferiority complex or a superiority complex, but we can walk with a calm cheerfulness, a blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.